name. I want to share a little testimony. Who likes testimonies? Okay. I just want to encourage you. You know, when the Lord speaks to you, sometimes you don't have a lot of time to ponder it. You just need to do it. You just need to do it. Anyway, yesterday we were driving back from the shops, and there wasn't a lot of traffic, but I was driving down the road and looking at people often walking up and down the streets coming from the shops with their shopping or whatever. Most of the time you just glance and keep driving. But every now and then you feel the tug of the Lord. You feel the tug of the Lord. And yesterday I looked and I saw this woman, two big bags of shopping, and she was kind of struggling along. And I just knew immediately, stop. So I looked quickly, and about 50 metres up there was a turn in off the main road. So I just turned in and I got out of the car, and as she was walking along she stopped like, what's going on? And I was like, hello. And she was like, oh, it's safe. Anyway, so she kept walking towards me, and long story short, I said, you know, how far are you going? Are you just going to the aged care there or the one down the street? She said, no, I'm just going down there. It's okay. I said, you know, I stopped to give you some help, you know. I said, I thought you were struggling. She said, actually, I was looking for a bus to throw myself under. And I thought she's just joking. She said, no, I'm only joking. But she said, there was a time when I used to be very depressed. I said, oh. Anyway, I said, well, you know, I can give you a ride if you want. She said, okay, thank you so much, bless you. Oh. And I thought, okay, bless you is not a common saying. So she got in the car, and Sam was with me, and she got in the back of the car, helped the lady and put her bags in. And off we drove like 50 metres down the street and 50 metres around to the corner. It wasn't far, but it was far enough. By the time we'd driven that short distance, we knew her name, we knew she'd had two hip surgeries, we knew she'd been to this church and that church, she was a sister in Christ, she was about 80, she was full of the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. And I thought, wow, you know, we were so glad that we picked her up. And she said, oh, you can see my testimony on YouTube, how I got healed from depression. I was like, oh. So she wrote it down and she said, and here's my number, and held her phone up and showed me her number. She said, you can come around and have a coffee sometime if you like. And I was like, wow. And she said, you know, I had told the Lord, I'm going to pray 5 minutes a day, every single day, and, you know, have like diligent prayer at a certain time. She said, but this morning, you know, I kind of missed it. I said, well, God didn't miss you. And she said, wow. She was so thrilled, and it was so encouraging. So, you know, when God prompts you to do something, don't think too hard about it. You know it's the Lord, just do it. Because you never know who you're going to help and how it's going to turn out. She turned out to be a sister in Christ who had been struggling up the road. So there you go. That's my story. So just do it, okay? Do it. Show the love of God. Okay, tonight I want to share a word, vindicated. Does anyone even know what that means? It's a big word. Vindicated. Okay, vindicated means to be absolved, to be acquitted, like, no, not guilty. Not guilty. Or, yes, I do believe you. Or, yes, you were right. It means basically your name is cleared. Where someone was against you, now things have turned out for good. It's like a reward. To be vindicated is like a reward. It's like justice for you, okay? So, you know, vindicated can be on many, many, many different levels. It can be on really huge, serious levels. And we're going to look at a bit of a story from the Bible here. But it can be on another level. And you can be vindicated, and it can be huge to you, but it may not seem huge to someone else, okay? There was a student sometime this week who handed in an assignment, and they had marks for the last 2 years, very good marks for their assignment for the past 2 years. But when they got the results back for this particular assignment, it was like 15 plus points lower. So it was very, quite low. And they were very disappointed with it. And so they wrote a letter, challenged it, graciously asked for a remark, and didn't realise that the person that they wrote the note to was the person who actually set the assignment, so they could have been offended by it. But they got the result back, it was remarked, and it was at the standard, you know, the proper result that it should have gotten in the first place. So they were vindicated. And sometimes you've got to do something to be vindicated, and other times you've got to just trust God to be vindicated. Okay? So that's kind of what I want to look at tonight. It's a story about, there was two brothers. One was named Esau, one was named Jacob. Okay? Esau was the oldest, and he should have got the blessing of the oldest son. But his brother Jacob was a sneaky guy, and the father who was blessing had poor eyesight, couldn't see, was probably classified as blind. And the father thought he was blessing the oldest son when actually Jacob had taken his place. And so Jacob valued the blessing and got it. Whereas Esau actually valued food and fleshly satisfaction, and he sold his birthright. He said to Jacob, you know what? I'll sell it to you. And so Jacob took it. He took it with both hands, basically. And then after that, Esau was angry with Jacob and wanted to kill him. He didn't say, I'm going to kill you. But the mum overheard the conversation and realised Esau wants to kill his brother Jacob. So Jacob, being her favourite, she said, listen, son, you better leave. And so she sends him away to a distant relative to protect him and said, look, you know, your brother will get over it. You'll come back and I'll see you soon. Well, that didn't happen, but still. Jacob went far, far away to his uncle Laban, and he was just a sneaky guy too. It kind of ran in the family. Sometimes bad things run in families. Okay, so sneakiness and deception ran in this family. So he goes away and he spots a young lady that he wants to marry. He thinks he's marrying her, and the uncle has tricked him and he's married the wrong sister. Okay? So then he thinks, I'll wait here and I'll marry the right sister. So he stays there longer and he's serving this uncle who's also a sneaky guy and trying to rip him off with his wages and all kinds of things. But even in the midst of this, you know, God can use people who have character flaws. And God wanted to use Jacob. So God intercepted in this situation after a number of years. And he spoke to Jacob. And then Jacob speaks to his two wives. Okay? Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field. Rachel's actually his second wife, the one he really loved. Leah was the one that the father gave to him first. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, like away from everything where he could talk to them in private. And he said to them, I see your father's countenance. In other words, Laban's looking at me. It's not favorable towards me as before. In other words, he's not happy with me. He used to be okay with me, but now he's not. But the God of my father has been with me. So Jacob's saying, look, ladies, things aren't good. Your father is quite angry with me, but I'm telling you, God is with me. He knew God was with him. And he says this, and you know that with all my might I've served your father, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. He didn't increase it 10 times. He changed it 10 times, okay? So there was no security there. There was no joy there, obviously. He said, with all my might, I served your father. And if you read this passage, it says that he was out in the fields, he worked extra time. If an animal killed one of the flock, then he wouldn't go and report it. He took the price on himself. You know, he was a faithful, faithful servant, basically. And he says, your father's deceived me. Now, Jacob's a deceiver too. But he's saying, your father's deceived me. I don't know if he had a really close relationship with them and was concerned, you know, what they might think if I'm accusing your father, how are they going to react? But he tells them anyway. But he keeps telling them, God is with me. God is with me. So what are they going to do? God said this. He said, this is what the Lord said. I've seen all that Jacob's doing. I'm the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. So Jacob's saying, this is what God said to me. God says he saw everything. He sees it all. And not only that, when I was out on the way here, when I was out in the middle of nowhere and I put down a rock on the ground, I had a dream and God appeared to me. And when I woke up from that dream, I anointed that pillar. I knew this is holy ground. This is holy ground. And he made a vow to the Lord. And the Lord says, I heard it, I see it, I'm with you. Now arise and get out of this land and go back to your family. It's interesting that God said that to Jacob, because to his grandfather, Abraham, God said the opposite. He said, get away from your family, leave this land and go away from your family. But he's saying to Jacob, leave this land and go back to your family. Okay? Sometimes we need to get out and go back. Sometimes we need to get out and stay out. Whatever God says, we need to do it. So that's what he said. That's what God told me to do. And then this is what they said. Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Is there anything here for us anyway? Are we not considered strangers by him? I don't think they've got a good relationship. For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. So he basically had no consideration for his daughters. It's like, oh, here, you can go with this guy. You can go with this guy. You can do this. I can trick you and it's okay. And he has stolen their inheritance. He's wasted it. He's wasted it. We're like strangers. He don't care about us. We've got nothing here. Everything's gone. He sold us and completely consumed our money. It's like people who come from families of gamblers. Everything's gone. Or people who make bad business decisions. It's all gone. They're saying, well, there's nothing here for us. All these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. So they're basically saying to Jacob, all the blessings that you have are actually ours. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. In other words, if God's told you to leave, we're going to leave too. Because everything has shifted to you. And we will go with you too. You follow God and we'll follow you. That's what it's all about. There's nothing here. We're going to go. You know, they were basically vindicated by God. Father took pretty much everything. But the things, the good things and the blessings that did shift to Jacob was also theirs. So they followed him. They went with him. You know, they felt abused. They felt rejected. They felt mistreated. So they just said, you just obey God. You follow God. You know, I don't know what relationship, you can see the bad relationship they had with the father, or poor relationship. I don't know what relationship they had with each other, because they were both competing for the one husband. Unusual situation, but sometimes we find ourselves in unusual situations. Maybe they were estranged from each other, they weren't close, but they've got a common enemy here in their father. And so they're saying, we're going to leave too. We're going to leave too. We're going to be vindicated when you are. So, you know, sometimes things happen in our lives which we don't have much control over, but God is still in it. And so, of course, they leave. And then Laban hears about it and he gets very angry and he starts to pursue them. He starts to pursue them and he catches up with them. But even as he's about to catch up with them, God gives him a dream and says, you be careful. You be careful what you say to Jacob. Don't you say anything good or bad about him. So he warned him about what he needed to do. And of course, when Laban says, what are you doing? You've taken my idols, you've taken my kids, you've taken my everything. And then Jacob stands up for himself. He feels the strength of the Lord and he challenges him. He said, there I was in the day the drought consumed me and the frost by night. My sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I've been in your house 20 years. In other words, I've served you for 20 years. I've struggled. I've suffered. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock. And you changed my wages 10 times. So in 20 years, he's basically saying, you didn't do anything good for me. You didn't do anything good for me, but I did much good for you. And I've suffered through it. And then he said this, unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. You would have sent me away with nothing. But he said, I served faithfully. I served faithfully, and God has vindicated me. God is with me. God has been with me. And then, of course, he carries on in his journey back to meet the family. And then he find his brother Esau. He gets news. Oh, your brother Esau's coming to meet you. Uh-oh. You know, he just had a challenge from Laban. Now he's got a challenge from his brother Esau. Esau's coming to meet him. Esau, the brother that wanted to kill him, is on the way. Oh, this is what he said at the end. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands, and he rebuked you last night. In other words, God has vindicated me. He saw, he knows, he's vindicated me, and he's kept you from harming me anymore. So now he's meeting the brother Esau. It said Jacob lifted up his eyes and he looked, and there, Esau was coming with 400 men. Uh-oh. An angry brother. There's 20 years to think on it, to get angrier, and there's 400 people with him. So he's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. It's like, you go with them, you go with them, you go with them. And then he put them all behind him. Okay, he put Rachel and Joseph last because they were his favorites. Okay, so he's divided them all up and he goes first to meet Esau. But he's also sent gifts with his servants to try and soften him up a bit. Sometimes taking gifts softens people up. So he crosses over before them. Okay, he goes first. He's not a coward. He didn't send the women out first. He went first. He crossed over before them and he bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. So he'd bow, bow, bow. it's a pretty humbling experience, pretty humiliating experience, really. You know, big brother, angry, better do the right thing. And then Esau ran to meet him. Wow, that's a surprise. Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him. Hey, bro! And they wept. That's a beautiful, beautiful picture. God had worked in both their hearts. God had worked in both their hearts. Jacob humbled himself enough and had courage enough to keep going. God told him, go back. He didn't know what he was going to face. Go back. And he kept going. He kept going. Even though he didn't know what awaited ahead. And God vindicated him. God vindicated him. His brother has forgiven him. He's happy to see him. You know, sometimes you think, oh, will this situation ever resolve? Will this person ever get over it? Will I ever get over it? Sometimes we think. You can. You can if you let God work in your life. The past was gone and they moved on. It's a beautiful picture. You know, God vindicates in the daylight. He doesn't do things in the dark or it's hidden. This was in broad daylight. Everybody saw this. Everybody saw it. Psalm 37 says this, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice or your vindication as the noonday. In other words, it'll be bright in broad daylight. It'll be evident. It'll be seen. It will be obvious. God will vindicate you. No matter what situation you may be in right now, you might think it's really unfair. It's not right. It's not right. The way they treated me, the things they're saying, they don't believe me, they're challenging me, they're mocking me. God will bring your justice. He will vindicate if you commit yourself to him and you trust in him. Just let it come to pass. He will bring it to pass. He will bring forth your righteousness. He will honor you. You say, oh, is it worth serving God? Is it worth being a Christian? Absolutely. He said he will bring forth your righteousness as the light. He will bring forth justice in the broad daylight. It'll be obvious and evident. And as I was reading that, I was thinking of the story in, I think it's in the book of Luke, about the woman, Luke chapter 18, about the woman with the unjust judge. When she came and she said, do the right thing by me, do the right thing. I've been, you know, dishonored. And he's like, go away, lady, stop bothering me. And she just kept pressing and pressing and pressing. And finally he said, oh, okay. You know, God vindicated her. Vindicated her diligence. You just have to keep pressing sometimes. What about Jesus? Was he vindicated? In Matthew 27, when Jesus was on the cross, and remember, this is about challenge, mocking, derision, false accusations. This is the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he's the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe him. Of course they wouldn't. They didn't believe from the words of wisdom. They didn't believe from the miracles. They didn't believe up until then. Why would they believe if he'd come down off the cross? He was on the cross to vindicate himself, to vindicate the word of God, to vindicate us, to bring justice for us. He could have saved himself and got down, but he wasn't there to save himself. He was there to save us. They just didn't get it. They didn't get it. And this is what they said. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him. Now, if he will have him. See how they mocked? He said, I'm the Son of God. They mocked Jesus for trusting God. They mocked Jesus for staying on the cross. And yet, God vindicated him by resurrecting him, because sin couldn't hold him down, because death couldn't hold him down. God vindicated Jesus. Yes, he is the Son of God. Yes, he is the Messiah. And he vindicated us. He brought justice for us. How awesome is that? He was sinless. Death had no power over him. He was vindicated from all the mockery and the false accusations for our sake, for the sake of the Word of God. Yes, it is true. Yes, he is true. Hallelujah. What's the lesson here? That God is a vindicator. He's a vindicator. He wants us to do our part. He wants us to trust him, but then he will do what is necessary to bring justice for us. He will bring justice. He will clear our name. He will honor us. He will acquit us. So no matter what situation you find yourself in, do what you can. Jacob, he was far from perfect, but he was chosen by God. He was blessed to be a blessing. He vindicated those girls, Rachel and Leah. He brought them out of their abusive situation. He became the father of Israel. His name was Israel. He became the father of that nation. His 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel, the nation, still exists, and no one can stop it, because it's in the plan of God. And it started with this sneaky guy. So if you think that you're not perfect, that's okay, because God used this sneaky guy. But he trusted the Lord, and God was able to change him. So no matter how you start out or where you are right now, God can vindicate and use you. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for your awesome word. Lord, we thank you that you are a vindicator, you are a rescuer, that you bring justice for your people. Lord, help us to trust you and to wait upon you. The things we can't change, we will allow you free reign. We thank you, Lord, for stories in the Bible, for your truth. Thank you, Lord, for the absolution, for the acquittal, for the clearing of our names. Thank you for the justice that you brought to us and that you will bring to us. For anyone, Lord, who may be struggling in a situation, that you will vindicate them, that you will work it out for their good, because they love you, because they trust you. We just bless you and thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I thought we could do something different tonight instead of me praying for you guys. How about you guys praying for each other? Let's get in a two or threes and just a quick prayer for somebody. And after that, before you go, I want to bless you. Who likes banana cake? If you like banana cake, there's some banana cake up the back and I want you to have some. But don't have any if you're allergic to nuts. Okay? So go and pray for somebody and say hi to somebody and have an awesome week. Amen. Bye everyone online. God bless.